Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're having a great day today. I want to come to you and bring a topic. We just arrived at a new town, traveled a bit today, working our way to our next area for preaching. Hey, I want to talk about today how to deal with Antichrist types. How to deal with Antichrist types. Yeah, the topic comes up from time to time. It came up recently with some saints asking questions. How do you deal with Antichrist types that are in your life, and especially in situations where it may not be easy to just avoid them? Yeah, this would be like a neighbor or in-laws that you have to go be with a husband or a wife to see, or a son and a daughter that's in your life. How shall we, born again, I'm talking to born again saints of God, how should we deal with them, if at all, right? Well, let's look at some verses that deal with this Antichrist situation. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there be many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So John's talking about Antichrist. We'll get to what that means. This next verse tells us who is an Antichrist. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar, but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. So, we'll keep going, one more verse. 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. One more verse, 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Okay, so from these verses, now we're not talking about the antichrist figure that's going to rise up in the tribulation in the last days. He is going to be an antichrist, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about other people that are antichrists. Anyone that denies who God is, who Christ is, that Christ was sent from God, they're antichrist. So this would cover what? Atheists, agnostics, and any other cult groups that deny that Jesus is God or have aberrant theology about God. They could be antichrist type people. Also a lot of false religions like Gaia, witchcraft. They have a wrong view of who God is, who Christ is. These are all anti-Christ groups. So what do we do as born-again saints? How do we handle these people? Do we stay close to them? Do we have any association with them at all? Do we separate from them? What do we do? Well, it's a complicated topic, but let's try to cut to the point here. First point, Paul and Jesus tells us that believers, born-again believers, claiming Jesus, that live in sin and false doctrine, clearly were to warn them, mark them, and avoid them. Romans 16:17 tells us that. Matthew 18 is the body discipline chapter. It tells us that. So that's a clear one. We know we separate from sinful, false teaching, so-called Christians, right? But Paul also says this. He says we can't leave the world, right? Let's read this, 1 Corinthians 5:10 and 11. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you to not keep company with any man that is called a brother, who is a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard. So Paul is saying, the people of the world, we can't leave the world. We're here to reach them. The people that claim Christ, yeah, those are the people we're going to separate from. So Paul just makes that clear for us there. We need a witness to the lost world, right? We're not going to leave the world. So where do the Antichrist types fit in? Well, we're getting there. Now, we know Jesus tells us to love our enemy, and he also tells us to not cast our pearls before swine and people that will trample them. Go read that, Matthew 5:43 and Matthew 7, verse 6. So we got to round that in here, too. We're supposed to love enemies, and we're not supposed to cast our pearls. I want to make a note here. A lot of people have this wrong. Ready? Loving people is living biblically, telling them gospel truth, being a light and salt, yes, praying for them, sharing the gospel with them, warning them of their fate, endearing them to repent and come to Christ. That's godly love. It's not making them cookies, cutting their grass, or just being nice and saying sweet, kind things when you're with them. You understand that? We're talking about when Jesus says love your enemies, it's godly love. When I'm in the street preaching and a man grabs my sign, grabs my amplifier, grabs anything, gets in my wife's face, do you know how I love him? I don't punch him. Yeah, like that would be the old me. I'd lay him out flat. I love him and I preach the gospel and tell him to repent. I don't buy him coffee. All right. Now, the Bible does talk about heaping coals on your enemy's head by doing kind things, and we can do that. But loving people, remember, we always want to love them in a godly way, okay? Not in a fleshly way. So I just wanted to say that. Make sure you remember, preaching the gospel to someone is loving. All right? Separating from them and telling them why and warning them, that's loving. So just remember that. What truly is love? Love is not just hanging out with them for the sake of hanging out with them. The world and churchianity has that wrong. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Yeah, so atheists, agnostics, don't claim God. They're fools per scripture. The Bible tells us that. Only the fool says in his heart there is no God. So we don't want to be like hanging out with them, be closely united to them, unless we're spending time with them and they're interested in your teaching them scripture and going over the gospel. Now, as I said, I know there's times when you may be forced to be in contact with these people. What can happen then? Or how can this happen? Well, this is where it gets confusing. But some of these points are going to help us. Ready? Number one, as I said, we warn and we leave all false saints and keep false ways and sin and heresy. That's easy. Those we know what to do with. We don't give God's truth to mockers and those not interested. Once we share the gospel and they mock or they say, I'm not interested, they don't want it. If at all possible, whether they're antichrist types or not, we just avoid them. We no longer cast our pearls. We're not around those types of people. They're not interested in the things of God. Be salt and light. They'll see your salt and light. But you just don't want to be around them. That's if possible. Three, if antichrist types mock God's truth, try to give them the gospel. Try to give your testimony. Don't give them to anymore. Don't give it to them. Pull it away from them and try to avoid them, right? There's no point in being around them anymore. Or not, if you have to be around them, then you stop offering them truth because that would be casting pearls, right? Remember something, saints. It's okay to be quiet and not say much when you're around people that you're forced to be around and you have no other choice. You have to decide why you're forced to be with them. I don't know the exact reason. Quiet is good. Jesus was quiet often. Okay, think about that. Number four, we are to love our enemies. And again, loving them is telling them truth, showing them truth, the gospel. When we see them, reminding them of their great need. It's not fleshly love. It's not making sure we're like, you know, gushing over them like the world does or baking things for them or doing nice physical things. Some of that could be appropriate in the right situation. But godly love is telling the truth and living it. And five, we don't say Godspeed, well wishes to antichrist types that push as teachers their false ways. 2 John 1:9-11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come unto you any that bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. All right, that word Godspeed, the word speed, charo, it means be well with, joy in your greeting, a happy salutation. So some antichrist false teacher, someone spewing antichrist ways, they're an enemy of the cross of Christ or the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I don't like that word cross. We're not going to get along well with them. We're not going to be pleased with them. We're not going to, hey, how are you today? Welcome to my home. No. Or I'm so glad to be at your home if you had to go. Again, I'm not sure why you have to go. We have to be very careful. The context here, let's be clear. The context of that passage in 2 John is about a person that's bringing and teaching doctrine of Antichrist. It's not a person that's just an agnostic or an atheist, keeps to themselves, never says anything about it. That isn't really the context. The context is somebody that is rabid about it, wants to tell other people about it, wants to turn Christians into atheists, wants to demean and slander and blaspheme Christ, or some man who's a teacher in a religious body with these heresy antichrist doctrines. Don't wish him Godspeed. Don't say Godspeed. No happy greeting, no cheer, no salutation. All right, so remember that. It's for the people that are pushing those doctrines. So let's get back to, now that we know what Godspeed is and it's referring to the false teachers, how do we deal with antichrists that are in our lives that maybe we can't avoid for whatever reason? Well, first of all, we need not avoid them outright if they meet certain parameters. Paul in Acts 17 went to Mars Hill and preached to a bunch of pagans that would have been antichrists. They did ask him to come, right? So we can go there, we can talk to them, we can witness, we can preach, we can give our testimony, we can call them to repentance, we can give them evidence of the one true God, just like we would do with anyone else. All right, the difficulty comes in is when they're a family member, a neighbor, and you may be bound to see them, whether it's by circumstances like a neighbor, or maybe your unregenerated husband has your atheist son coming around, or your unregenerated husband has you going to in-laws that are antichrist atheist type. This is where it's going to take wisdom. You got a case-by-case situation. Email us. We'd love to help you in each case to go into greater detail. Let's talk about a son. Let's talk about a son who comes in your home. And it's really not your choice that he comes in the home. The husband, who is the head of the home, has him coming into the home. Now, if they're a false teacher and a mocker, and they hate God's truth and they're antichrist type, you're going to have to, if you've given them the gospel and they reject it, you're going to have to do your best to explain to them, avoid them, and have very little association, if any at all, if possible. Yeah, you're going to have to do that. Your husband wants him in the house, that's his business. Doesn't mean you have to be involved in it. You got to honor God first. How could you be nice and kind and honoring to someone who's an antichrist, false teacher, bringing doctrine, mocking, spewing, making fun of? You just can't. I know these are hard things, but you know what? Jesus did hard things for us. We have to have these hard discussions with husbands, unregenerated husbands, and we got to stand firmly with God. I don't think he's going to take you in chains and force you to be with this person. And your testimony, this is after you've given them the gospel, sent them a letter, given them the testimony, invited them to come and repent, invited them to come Bible study with all of us, to seek the things of God. This is after all that. And then when they still mock and they're teaching their false ways, yeah, you have to cut it off. And you have to show them that family blood is not thicker than spiritual blood, and your family is those who do the will of the Father. This is hard stuff, I understand. You have to do that. But if you have a son, and let's say he's not teaching, he's an antichrist type, doesn't believe in God, he's not sure, but he's not false teaching, and he's willing to let you be who you are, he's not trying to change you, he doesn't come mocking and spewing, and he's heard the gospel, doesn't mock, and he has to come into the home because of your husband, let's say, you can have a loose relationship with them. I would warn you to not be too close. All right? How much closeness are you going to have with an antichrist type person? You can show them love, which you already have by giving them the gospel. You can show them light and salt. You can always give them more of God's word. That's the best thing you can do. All right? And as I said before, if they push false teaching and teach it, no Godspeed, no well wishes, no have a nice day, that type of stuff, yeah, you got to train yourself. But if they're not that type of person, they're not a pusher of it, they're not a false teacher, they're not a mocker, they're just someone who believes or doesn't know what they believe, you have more leeway. Still be very careful how much time you spend with someone like that. If they're not interested in sitting down and talking about Scripture and the gospel, you're not going to be real close with them, and they need to know that in a loving way. They need to know they're outside of God's truth, they're in danger of wrath, you don't want to spend a lot of time with them. And if you're forced to be around them, keep your talk small. Keep it focused on the task at hand. Why are they there? Hopefully it's to help your husband or something with something, and he's doing that thing over there. Maybe you don't even have to be involved in it. And then when there is talk, it could be about what's going on in your life with God. Give them Scripture. Yep, if you can add to your witness in their life, that should be how you spend time with them. If you can add to your witness, you don't always have to preach the gospel to add to your witness. There's other things you can do. other topics you can bring up, scriptures. Hey, I got a scripture I want to share with you because I love you here. You can love them, but you don't want to be too close to them. That makes sense. Remind them, if they'll listen to you, that they need to respond to God in the gospel or they're in great danger. They don't mock you. You can continue to give it to them in truth and love, still keeping your distance. Okay? That's very, very key. If they ever do start to mock, let's say they get tired of you doing it. You're so nice to them. You give them scriptures. You know, nice to them meaning you give them scriptures. You tell them, I'm praying for you. You don't have to be baking cookies and doing all kinds of things like that. You're not called to do that stuff. That's not godly love. They're not hungry. They don't need cookies. All right? If they were starving to death, you'd feed them. Yeah. But that's not the case, what we're talking here. So if they ever do mock and they start to push back, you stop. All right? Stop your witnessing. Don't cast your pearls. And if they have to be in your house, you keep your relationship at an absolute bare minimum as best you can. Let them know that you're there to serve the one true God and you're not interested in being too close to people with antichrist ideas that mock my God. Yeah, you're going to have to say that stuff. And then tell them, if they ever want to seek truth, if they ever want to repent, if they ever want a Bible study, that you know saints that are there to help them and they'd be more than happy to help them. So there you go. That's love. That's showing godly love. All right? So if they have to be around your house and they're in your house and it's out of your control, explain to them you love them, but you love God more. You have to act accordingly. Can't be too close to them because they're an enemy of God, even though they've listened some. And if I'm talking about if they start to mock. If they never mock and they respect you, you've got more leeway and you've got more chances to put God's truth in them. But still, you don't want to be too close to a person that's an antichrist type in their mindset. It's a dangerous thing. Let's move on to if you have in-laws. Let's say you're married to an unregenerated man. He says, we got to go over to my in-laws. And they're all antichrist, atheist, agnostic types. All right, same rules apply. All right, if they listen and they're open and you could share a gospel card with them, give them your testimony, share the truth freely. You can show them love via good, godly witness. They're not teaching you their false ways. They're not mocking you. Absolutely. Be a salt. Be light. And hopefully you don't spend like every weekend with them. That would be really uncomfortable. If it's a couple times a year thing, I don't think that should be too inappropriate. Maybe you can talk to your husband if it's more and say, I'm really not comfortable with more. And hopefully you could pray about that and he would honor and respect you in that. If your in-laws are mockers, false teachers, they're antichrist types, and they push back after you've shared the gospel, your testimony, and it's just tension, and it's just darkness, and it's just something you don't want to be around, you got to go have a talk with your spouse and tell him, I serve God first. I obey you, but I have to serve God first. And God tells me I can't be around those people because they're absolutely antagonistic to my faith and to my Lord. And definitely, if they're mockers and antichrist types, that's where you pull back any type of cheery greeting, no Godspeed. That's for a teacher. That's for a person that's pushing false doctrine. You know, I know a lot of people that are atheists, and they never say it to anybody, and they're willing to hear the gospel and go, hey, I'll think about that. Yeah, they're not teaching. So while I still don't wish them, hey, go out, have a great day, love you, all this kind of stuff, I say, thank you for listening. I'm here for you. I care for your soul. So I'll give them that kind of greeting. Someone that's a mocker, an atheist, pushing back, fighting, defaming my Lord, oh, they get a rebuke. And I tell them, you know, until you change your mind, I have no other words for you. I can do that because I'm not forced into any of these situations. I know some of you are in some tenuous situation. So I don't think it's unfair for a spouse to understand that a born-again saint doesn't want to be around pushy, false, angry, antichrist types. Yeah. So in general, we want to be loving, light, and salt to everyone except false Christians that we're supposed to separate from, mockers and false pushy type antichrists that we should separate from. Jesus, our model, he reached many lost souls, but you know what? He didn't just hang out with people for the fun of it. Nope, he went to show them God's kingdom and speak truth into their life. And the people that weren't interested, he didn't spend any time with them. He told the Pharisees, you have not eyes to see, you have not ears to hear, your father is Satan, you cannot hear. I always say this, if a person won't open their Bible, a Bible, their mind isn't open to the truth of God. And that's really what it comes down to. So when I witness on street preaching, you'll notice that people won't take a gospel card and begin to look at scripture. I don't go along with them at all. And it always proves out, if a person doesn't take a gospel card right in the beginning, and they go, yeah, what's this? And they're looking at it. They usually are willing to talk. If a person goes, I don't want that gospel card, I got the gospel. They don't even know what my gospel card says. They don't even want to test it. They don't want to even read to see if we agree, we disagree. They always end up being mockers. So that's kind of my litmus test. So if people won't open a Bible, they won't take a gospel card, they're probably going to end up to be mockers. So Jesus reached people, but he did it very carefully. Paul reached Antichrist pagans on Mars Hill, Acts 17, right? But let's be fair. They asked him to come. He wasn't there palling around with them. They asked him to come, and they said, we'll maybe hear more of you in the future. We don't know if that happened or not. And again, for me, when I preach the gospel, I will avoid all false teaching antichrists that reject the gospel, that mock. I just avoid them. I warn them, rebuke them, avoid them. And then the antichrist types that will listen, I just had an email, long email communication with a young man I met out street preaching. He emailed me. He was an atheist, antichrist, and we had a really good conversation back and forth. He was respectful. He was teaching some of his, actually he wasn't teaching false ways. He was trying to prove he thought the Bible had errors, and so it wasn't really about God, it was more about the Bible. So him and I went back and forth a little bit. Eventually he doubled down on his antichrist ways and says he doesn't believe in God or the creation, while he can't answer where the creation came from. So I generally will take mockers and cut them real quick, or antichrist false teachers and cut them quick. Other people, I speak into them. I tell them, I care for your soul. I love you. Let me know I can help you. So as we close this out, I think a good rule of thumb is whenever you go out into the world, or you're going to be around these types, like in your family members, with your family that we're talking about, when you're going to be around any non-born again saints, view it as ministry. You hear what I said? So you're going to go to these family members' house, view it as ministry. You're going to go out to Walmart, view it as ministry. You might see your neighbor and you really don't want to, view it as ministry. Always be ready with a gospel, or if you've already given the gospel, maybe scriptures that you printed off or want to give them, or something you want to remind them. Hey, did you look at that gospel I gave you last time? You know, it's important. If you're not born again, you're not going to make it in the kingdom. There's a greeting for you. Instead of saying, hi, how you doing, to your atheist neighbor, when he waves to you, you could say, hey, I got something for you. I wrote this down. I've been praying for you. Remember that gospel I gave you? Just want to remind you, if you're outside of Christ, you're going to lose your soul. I care for your soul. Think about that today. You see how I loved him? But I didn't go, hi, have a nice day. Yeah, we can do stuff like that. I know it's a little bold, and it's maybe harder for some of the ladies to do that with men. You got to be careful there. I understand. But use that with a grain of salt as I offer that to you. So view all these things as ministry. And here's what I want to tell you. It's what Sister Debbie and I have learned. If you shine your light, you talk of the gospel and Christ and God and his truth and his word, and you hand out gospel cards and you tell your testimony via the gospel and your bold witness. You don't have to be bold like me. I know I talk loud and I talk a lot. You don't have to be bold like me. That's just my personality. You can be bold in your own way. They're like, wow, that person's always about God, even in a soft, gentle way. You know what's going to happen? They'll either end up not wanting to be around you, and they'll say, you know what, I'm not interested in being around that Christian anymore. They make me sick because I'm an antichrist, and I don't like that. Okay. Most of our family left us. We didn't leave them. They chose to leave us. We would have left them in time if they didn't, if they didn't repent. The other option is they'll ask questions, and they'll say, I want to know more about your faith. Wow, you're not a churchgoer. You seem like you have a real, live, active faith, and you're so different than the culture. Rare cases, but it does happen. And that's, of course, after we hand out the gospel and we've shared with them our testimony. But here's another point. After we have handed out the gospel, after we have shown light and salt and truth and a good witness, you know what our charge is, saints? Ready? When, especially dealing with antichrist types and mockers, Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate on it day and night. Yeah, that's our charge. We're going to keep ourselves pure. I know you're going to be forced into some of these situations, but if you walk in wisdom, we'll talk about that in a minute, you can do this. And here's what I want to encourage you with. Even if this causes issues, like with your spouse, you know, you could try to do this as gently as possible and just lay down, hey, I can't obey God and be with this person very long. And you know what? It's a witness to everybody around you that you're trying to live holy and godly. You've already given them the gospel. They don't care about the gospel. They don't want it. You've already tried. Your hands are clean there. You're being a witness of being holy via the gospel of Christ. You're glorifying God. Isn't that awesome? The other thing I want to share with you when it comes to this whole situation of Antichrist, especially with the ones that are, you know, not false teachers and pushing it, let's all have a humble heart, all right? Remember this, but for God's grace and His truth and His Spirit, that Antichrist person, hey, that drug addict, hey, that person in jail, that could have been you or I. Yeah, lost in our sin and our rebellion and our false ways. Plant seeds in people as any way you can. If they'll listen for a split second, if they'll listen a long time, if you see them and they'll take it over and over, keep planting seeds as long as they don't reject it. And you know what? Give them over to God. Your job is done. Let the Holy Spirit have them. He's better at conviction than we are. You be salt, you be light, but you have to do it with wisdom to the right people at the right time. And you have to know when to offer it, when to pull it back, and when not to give it anymore. And here's something to remember. Ready? Silence can be a great, great, powerful witness. Just the other day I was street preaching, and this guy walked up. No, he rode up on a bike, right? I'm preaching the oracles of God, right? And I got all these people around. This guy rides up on a bike and he parks about 3 feet from me. And you know what he said to me? He goes, can I rub your head? I just really want to rub your head. Yeah, that's what he said. You know what I did? I stopped, I turned and faced him, and I just stared him in the eyes. And he got really uncomfortable. And he goes, yeah, I'm just asking, can I rub your head? I'd really like to rub your head. And I looked at him. I must have stared at him for 30 seconds. That's a long time to stare at somebody and not say a word. And he was getting uncomfortable looking around, and I just turned and started street preaching again. I wasn't mean. He wasn't interested in the truth. Offered him a gospel card earlier. He didn't want it. But I don't deal with mockers like that. Why would I? So have to use wisdom. Know when to do what to who. And hey, you can always send these people my way. It's a challenge for me to deal with atheists as long as they're not mockers. I love dealing with people. I've been doing it a long time. I'm happy to speak truth into them, Bible study with them. If they mock or they teach Antichrist false ways, I'll give them a rebuke, a loving rebuke, and send them on their way. That might help you in your situation as well. So, as I said before, you have to use wisdom to make this work in each of your specific situations. I know they all have different circumstances, and you may be forced into some things, but you don't have to talk a lot. You don't have to be all kind and sweet and nice on the outside, especially when you've offered them the gospel they mocked. Yeah, being quiet and keeping to yourself and your children or to your husband. Or maybe your husband will give you a break and go, yeah, you don't have to go. Yeah, or we'll go, but we're not staying very long. And maybe pray about it, and maybe your husband will make a way for you. God will work through him. Even if he's an unbeliever, not regenerated, God can do those things, right? But this is all going to take wisdom, okay? James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men and women liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So I hope that encourages you, saints, on how to deal with the Antichrist types. If they're not mockers, you've got more leeway. The Godspeed doesn't apply, but be careful. I wouldn't be overly fleshly friendly with those people. I don't care if it's your daughter, son, cousin, uncle, neighbor. I'd be careful. There is a separation. They are a worker of Satan. You realize that? How close do you want to be to a worker of Satan? I think you should be close enough to shine the gospel. Only close enough when you have to be in front of them. If they're mockers, try to find a way to not be in front of the mockers. And then use silence and also speak the truth of God in your life. You don't always, you know, last point here. You don't always have to witness to people. You know, when you share your testimony, that's you sharing you. They're just going to hear it. You could say, wow, I was reading the scripture and this meant something to me. Or my brother or my sister was telling me about this situation and this event. And, you know, you could be speaking at a table with a bunch of people there. Yeah, it's going to take a little boldness. But if you got to be there, use boldness or use silence. Silence can be bold too. So I hope that helps you to see how to deal with a Antichrist, a mocker teacher, don't wish them even Godspeed, or don't say Godspeed, don't have good greetings with them. Yeah, an Antichrist who's more amiable, willing to listen, they may go, you know, I'm looking into this stuff. Yeah, that's a person you want to speak truth into. Still, not spend a lot of time with them unless it's about the gospel. Don't let your flesh get in the way, whether it's a son, daughter, husband, relatives. You got to be salt and light to the world. Don't be partial. You don't want to spend tons of time on somebody that ain't listening when there's other people in your life that you could go out and hand the gospel out, put gospel cards up. You want to make sure that when you do this stuff, you're doing it and then you're trusting in God. We don't finish this stuff, right? We play a part in it, but we don't finish this stuff. God's the finisher and author of the word and of our faith. God adds to the body, Matthew 16, Acts 2. We don't do any of that stuff. We're just his tool. So let God use you as a tool. Look at a rake or a shovel in a garden. It has one specific use. It does its job. It gets the weeds pulled out, and then it gets out of the way, and it lets the plants, and it lets God do its thing. It doesn't do everything. If you used a rake for your whole garden on everything, you'd destroy your garden, right? Same thing with people use weed killer. You spray it, and you put it on weeds. If you overuse it, you're going to kill everything. So don't overuse your testimony, your witness to the wrong people. Do your best. Be salt light. Trust in God. Turn them over to God. Use wisdom. Be loving in a godly way. Don't be fleshly loving. And don't be afraid to hurt people's feelings. Meaning, just tell the truth. I'm sorry, honey. I can't be around that person. I've already given the gospel. I've already loved them. I've got nothing else to offer them. They mocked God. Yeah. And pray about it, and God will make a way. So I'm going to leave it right there. This went pretty long. I hope this edified you. Yeah, dealing with Antichrist, it's not an easy situation. We have so many of these situations in our life every day as we're out here witnessing, and as we know people that come and want to be united or whatever it is, we must all walk in great wisdom. And you know what? You're going to learn as you go. Just make sure that you learn from your mistakes. I tell people all the time, I'm an expert on so many things. Sounds boastful, right? Until you hear the rest of my story. The reason I'm an expert on so many things, I've made so many mistakes in so many things that God has taught me. God's word, God's spirit has taught me the truth and the right way. My way didn't work. So I've become a pretty good expert on God's way. I got no truth. All I got is God's word. I'm going to leave it right there. Love you all. Don'tperish.com, the teaching blog, our Facebook pages, pouring out every day. Traveling, preaching Christ crucified. Can you believe it's almost September? Time is flying by. Are you ready for eternity? Repent and obey the gospel. Yeah, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repent. This glorious Savior has made a way. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all. May God be praised.